Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following program has been pre-recorded. This is Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. Downtown Portland, Oregon is one of the most beautiful downtowns in the entire country. And you may be thinking to yourself, like I am, what's been happening in downtown Portland lately? Well, let's find out. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Tad Savinar. Tad is a Pioneer Courthouse Square board member. Hey there, Tad. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
So, you're a board member with Pioneer Courthouse Square, which is affectionately known as Portland's living room, right smack dab in the middle of downtown Portland. How did you get on the board, and what drew you to be on the board of Pioneer Courthouse Square?
Well, I've worked in I had a urban design practice for 20 years, I worked a lot on revitalization of downtown and of different downtowns around this country. As I started to switch and slow down my work and stay more in Portland, I felt it was certainly a duty as a citizen of the city to do what I could to help and contribute to our downtown being livable. And certainly the square is kind of the epicenter of that.
Yeah. So the Pioneer Courthouse Square has not always been there. Tell me about the history of the square.
There was a lovely two-story parking structure that was there that was a really unfortunately looking structure, which was primarily used by Myron and Frank department store shoppers.
Okay.
But prior to it being a parking lot, it was the site of the Portland Hotel, which was quite ornate in its architecture and occupied the entire block. In fact, there is a piece of the original hotel fencing gate that is still present on the sixth block of the square, facing the sixth block. So, but it has, certainly always served its citizens and in their different comings and goings.
I've lived in Portland since the mid-90s, and I can't imagine it not being there. It'd be so strange if Pioneer Courthouse Square weren't there.
Yeah. The square was developed in 1984, and so it's been 37 years in existence, and actually serves 11 million visitors a year. That would be up until the COVID year. 11 million visitors, and what's fascinating is that they don't come, the visitors don't come just from the central city. They come from Gresham and Burns and all places around the state of Oregon. So it's, we call it Portland's living room, but it's actually a destination for the people of the state. It's fascinating when they do the studies to see who's actually using the square.
If somebody hasn't been downtown for a while, or maybe they're new to Portland, describe where exactly Pioneer Courthouse Square is.
Well, it's on the block between Southwest Broadway, directly across Broadway from Nordstrom's, and then 6th Avenue, directly adjacent to the Pioneer Courthouse, which was, I think, the first courthouse built west of the Mississippi.
Oh.
Then on Yamhill and Morrison on the other side, north and south edges. But Yamhill and Morrison were during Mayor Sam's tenure were determined to be the main retail streets in Portland and were dubbed the Pioneer District, and that was in the 2000s sometime.
And what is the mission of Pioneer Courthouse Square?
Well, to serve the community, all of the community, and they do so through something like 250 events a year. It's free to the public, and there are some events where there is a charge, but it's for from the vendors who actually situate on the square, whether it's a market or a beer garden. Some of the biggest draws are the lighting of the Christmas tree. I think that's the day after Thanksgiving, and they do picks on the bricks or flicks on the bricks, movies which draw people from all over the region to come with. It's a very family-oriented place, and certainly when there is an event, is not an event planned, people tend to use the square, the surrounding office buildings, people having lunch, grabbing something at the food trucks that have been added to the square, reading a newspaper, meeting a friend. It's really the crossroads of Portland in many people's minds, and the fact that it is served by Portland's TriMet light rail system makes it a real transit hub as well as a civic space.
Do you have any idea where the nickname Portland's Living Room came from?
You know, I don't have a clue.
Oh.
I don't have a clue, but it really stuck, didn't it?
Yeah,
it's interesting because it when you think of your living room, not everyone always uses their living room, but when you do use your living room, there's a couch there and there's a table to set things down and lots of conversations occur. There are lots of TV programs are watched. Lots of announcements are made, impending, engagements and such, or all kinds of celebrations occur in our living rooms, whether they are formal or informal. And so I think it's a very apt a title, if you will, for the square. It's fascinating. There's no edges. There's no boundaries. It's just open on all sides. So it's really kind of provides an amazing invitation to citizens and visitors alike to the square.
It's where friends and family meet.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about things that used to happen and will happen again at Pioneer Courthouse Square, kind of pre-pandemic, like the Christmas tree lighting and some of the other events. Tell me about what's happened since the pandemic has taken over. What's happening in Pioneer Courthouse Square now?
Well, there is the polka dot project, which has really been remarkable in how it has kind of activated the square, not just through color, but also through kind of a psychological understanding of how a city lives and breathes. The Polka Dot Project was something that was developed by Bill Will, an artist in Portland. He's kind of I call him a Portland treasure because he's done a lot of work around the country and in Portland in the form of public art. And his work always has just an amazing invitation to all crosses, all sections, cross sections of people. He doesn't dumb down the art, but he doesn't make it so highfalutin that you can't access it. So it's a wonderful piece, and it consists of a number of large, colorful circles that have been placed on the surface of the square, on the bricks directly, which demarks the COVID safety zone of 6 feet distancing. And the squares have provided animation for all kinds of jugglers, storytellers, tuba players, dancers, et cetera, through programming that the Pioneer Courthouse Square administration has arranged, so that there is always something going on downtown in the dots. And since it began, now the dots have migrated to many places in the downtown, in the central business district, not just at the square.
We're talking today with Tad Savinar, Pioneer Courthouse Square board member. So tell me about some of the types of performances you've seen in some of these polka dots downtown.
Well, there's been tubas and storytellers and, you know, as I said, dancers. There's been events where a dance company will occupy all the dots or many of the dots at once, or there's been performances where a person will occupy one dot. So it's really up to the various performers and artists who sign up to use the square as their impromptu stage. All of the artists are paid. So it's a fascinating project in that it's also giving back to the artistic community who, you know, performers need audiences. And when COVID hit, of course, those performing artists didn't really have audiences, live audiences. They had, of course, could do their work via Zoom or some other broadcast. But for the most part, this has been kind of a win-win for audience members and for performers to be able to have a place to perform and have a place to go watch performances. So it's turned out to be quite an extraordinary a set of programming.
When did the polka dots go in, and how long do you expect them to be downtown?
Well, there's the intent that this project will continue on for another year. You know, Gary, I can't tell you when the dots actually went in the first time. I'm looking over my notes, but I don't have
Well, it was right after the pandemic started. Well, sometime after the pandemic started, anyway.
Yeah. Well, actually, what happened was during the pandemic and during the lockdown, I became very concerned about our city concerned that we were potentially being portrayed in the media as the place where all the rioting is. And, you know, that rioting and destruction of property really was quite focused on a specific area. But more importantly, the square has always been something that reached out to its public. And I was thinking, what image could appear on the front page of the New York Times that was not Portlanders setting things on fire? I imagined a photograph taken from a helicopter far above Pioneer Courthouse Square that would show, you know, many of the surrounding buildings downtown in the core, but in the center of that image would be Pioneer Courthouse Square. The bricks create that red surface that is very, very visible in a photograph like that. And I was thinking, what could a person put on the square that would create a sense of Portland's still here? We're still a city that's got a sense of humor and a bit of whimsy, and we're not letting this COVID thing get us down. But as an artist, I couldn't come up with what could be put on the bricks to make that picture complete. So I called the square and talked to Jennifer Pulver, who's the director, and said, you know, can we come up with something that would make a great photograph, you know, that would take the place of the other photographs that are appearing. Yeah. And I said, maybe it's an artist. And I gave her the names of some artists, but I said, you know what? You want to call Bill Will first, because he's the smartest of the people on this list. And, you know, it didn't take long for Bill to come up with something that is just, it is a beautiful array of colors. It is exquisitely executed. Everybody who comes to the square knows immediately what the intent is, that they were supposed to social distance. They can occupy a circle. That performances occur there. I mean, it makes us all smile in its ingenuity and cleverness. It's not highfalutin or hoity-toity. I mean, it's just something that's so obvious as to what our role in that piece is. And I think it's just been extremely successful.
Tell me about, do performances happen every day? Do they happen on the weekends? How late in the evening do they go?
They happen all different times of the day. They're scheduled. A person, interested party can go to the square's website, and there are the schedules of who's coming. There are videos of who's performed in the past. And importantly, there's also an opportunity to contribute via hitting a button on the website to the artist fund, which is the fund that pays the artists directly for their performances. We've raised $150,000 just to pay artists to perform. So it's really remarkable. The square is not really a place that does a lot of fundraising. Most of the things that occur there are through sponsorship of events from corporations and various groups, and then through fees to organizations that want to have an event at the square. So for the general public to have reached out and come up with $150,000, and in addition to donations by downtown business groups, it's really been pretty remarkable. And so if anyone wants to be part of the return to normalcy, go on the website and hit that button. We'd appreciate it. But also just sharing, you know, if you're not coming downtown, you can still experience the whimsy and the beauty of the performances that have occurred to thus far.
I want to ask, too, how is public art funded? You say through donations from the general public, but is there money coming from other places, too?
The Portland Business Alliance has offered some money. The Portland Business Alliance has the responsibility of promoting businesses all throughout the city. And so they were very generous in providing some funds to fund the ongoing DOTS program. And so that's been really helpful. And as I said, corporations and individuals.
Can we talk a little bit, Tad, about what's happening in downtown Portland now? What is it like? Maybe people haven't been downtown for a while. And you, like you said a little bit ago in the news, it just seems like destruction everywhere in downtown. But what is it really like in downtown Portland right now?
Well, I'll be really honest. I would say that contrary to what people might see in the media, the entire city is not on fire. The entire city is not every square inch filled with homeless and protesters. It's not full of trash. The city does look different. We've lived through a pretty extraordinary time with the kind of double whammy of COVID and the series of protests. And when I say protests, I don't necessarily mean the peaceful protests. I mean the unruly protests and the destruction of property. So our downtown has been through a lot. But by all means, it is not every building is shut down and every building has plywood on it, or every building is defaced with graffiti and there is not a tent on every single street. The city is very much alive. Many stores and museums are open. Restaurants and bars are open. And it still provides a very compelling mix of diversity of local businesses as well as national businesses and in their blend to kind of create that diverse feeling that we all love downtown. Bit by bit, things are opening. And yes, some have gone and some will not return. But I think even now, just this weekend, there was more life downtown than there has been in weeks prior. And it'll take time. We have a bad bruise that we need to heal. And we'll take some Advil and we'll see where we go. I think that people talk about returning to normalcy, and maybe normal, we're going to have a little bit different different normal as we go forward. But I still think it will be built on what I call social intimacy. Portland is blessed with a 200-foot block grid of its city, which is much smaller blocks than, say, Salt Lake City or Los Angeles or Phoenix, where the blocks are 300 feet or longer. So the city, the structure of downtown itself, lends itself to pedestrian activities, to feeling like you're walking a long distance because you come to the end of a block quicker. And it creates, as I say, this kind of social intimacy where you feel people don't walk around in their protective bubble like they do in other cities. People make contact standing in line. You have a conversation with someone. And those are some of the aspects that will survive regardless of our current unrest and challenges right now. Portlanders are still kind at heart, and we're driven by the beauty of our natural environment, families and strong neighborhoods. And Portlanders tend to carry that knowledge of an intimate neighborhood with them wherever they go. And when they come downtown, they bring that experience. So I have a lot of hope that those things will still endure.
I've always kind of thought of Portland as kind of like a big town where everybody kind of still smiles at everybody. You say hello to people. As opposed to being a city, it's a big town, because it seems like towns are a little more friendly.
Right. And every phone call that I have with someone, I was just talking to somebody this morning on the phone. We were kind of, well, where'd you come from? Where, you know, how are we connected? And it's like, you know, it's just, we're only like a couple of degrees away from everybody. Whether you're a new person or an old or a born in Portland person, you know, it's, you know, the interesting thing about Portland is the people who come here from other places come here because they made a choice. They wanted to be in Portland. Yeah. It's not like they got transferred. Do you know what I mean? It's not a place that people are unhappy that they have to go to. It's people who come here. There's something like, I remember I did a talk with the Oregon Tourism Bureau a number of years ago. And in prep of that, I found that 62% of the people who move to Portland come here first as a vacationer. And they come here, they experience the state, all that it has to offer. They walk through our city. They speak to our citizens, and something in that experience is genuine enough and important enough that those people, 62% of those people, decide they want to come and make this their home. And they come here for that reason. And so I still feel that we are a city that has that that pull, that draw, that uniqueness, that intimacy, the common sense that we tend to have in this city. And I appreciate it, and I think that will endure. That's really been the backbone of our state for so long.
Yes, indeed. We're talking today with Tad Savinar, Pioneer Courthouse Square board member. Now, Tad, you were born and raised here in Portland, and so you've seen Pioneer Courthouse Square evolve over its 37 years. Tell me about that evolution. What's been happening there?
Well, as a child, I used to wait for the bus to go home on Morrison between Broadway and 6th. And at that time, there was a little planter outside the United Airlines office, which is directly across from the square. Now it's a CVS. I think they just moved in. But I used to sit on that planter, and I would look into it. Was really horrifying, the parking structure that was there before. It was only two stories, but it had metal trim around the second story, and it was rusty and not maintained. And it was just like it was like the parking lot that swallowed downtown Portland. It was in the wrong place to do any good except for to be parked on. But it wasn't really adding much to the city. And in 1984, the city realized that they needed to rebirth downtown. It was just a little after the first buses were formed on the transit mall to make the bus mall. City leaders got together with the city and decided that the property would be best for a civic gathering space, a public square, if you will. National competition was held. A number of many firms responded, and teams responded, and ultimately the design team that created the square was made up of Portlanders, architects, landscape architects, an artist, a historian, and their design was approved, and that's how it stands today. There have been very little alterations to the square since its initial design. One of them was to add some shelter, roof shelter, rain protection for folks using the light rail system that has a stop on both Yamhill and Morrison on either side of the square. But other than that, it has remained true to its original design and served us extremely well.
Yeah, it's like we've said a million times during this interview, it's Portland's living room. It's downtown Portland. It's where everybody needs to be.
And you know, its design is one that that has Portland at its heart. I mean, the entire ground plane is built with red brick. Those bricks are inscribed with people's names who paid to have their name be part of Pioneer Square. So it's got all those voices, if you will, of the people who live here. And then many of the details are in bronze, which is a very high quality civic material, one that shows the trace of a person's touch. It's warm to the touch. It's often used for civic monuments. So in many ways, the square is actually made up of some of the elements that one would recognize in Old Town Portland, you know, and in the architecture that we and statues that we find in downtown.
Awesome. Well, Tad, thanks.
It's not some kind of contemporary faceless place. It's really built out of the threads and materials that make up Portland as we know it.
That's so awesome. Tad, thanks for catching us up on what's happening in downtown Portland. This has been great.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
We were talking today with Tad Savinar, Pioneer Courthouse Square board member. Thanks again, Tad.
Thank you, Gary.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.